been thinking about history a lot. Do I have any history buffs around here? You just love history? A few of you. Seems like there's one in every family. There's a history buff. I was going through my mind this morning. I've been preparing for this series, this Christmas series that we're calling The Gift That Changed Everything. It's going to be a unique series, and my gift to you is I won't be preaching that much. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. I was looking at some different lists of, you know, top 10 things that changed human history. I just picked a few here and there, and I'm going to maybe remind you of a few, and then possibly you might remember something. You raise your hand and tell me. So what about in 1989, the fall of the Berlin Wall? Did that change history? It sure did. So in relationship to that, what about the rise of Nazi Germany? Do you think the killing of 75 million people changed history? What about when the atom bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Changed history. In fact, at most of those, you can actually see the course of humanity turned. What about in 1517? Doug, were you there back then? I don't really know. 1517, what about when Martin Luther put up his 95 Theses? And you know one of the direct results of that? The Protestant church. And raise your hand if you're involved in a Protestant church. Changed history. What about this? How about in 1942, a little bit more modern time frame, when Columbus reached the Americas? What did I say? That was a good year, too. Maybe I learned about it in 1942. 1492. Do you think that changed history? Tremendously changed. What about the American Civil War? Got your brains moving. Anyone, what are some other events that changed history? Yes, sir.
The printing,
the Gutenberg printing press. Do you know the first book that it, do you know the book that it was originally designed to print? Which one? The King James Bible. All right, the Gutenberg printing press. Anything else, something that changed history? 9/11, that's right. TV definitely changed history. Oh, air conditioning. The wheel. What, combustion engine. Landing on the moon. How come you guys don't relate or participate with a sermon like that with me? This is awesome. Well, I think many have experienced the birth of a baby in a family. I thought someone was going to say that. But did that change your life? And I heard the men and the women answer that. I was actually thought maybe more of the women were. I mean, did that literally change everything in your life, ladies? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask for illustrations and all that of how, but it changed how you look at things, how you relate. It changed your level of ability to love someone, didn't it? You had no idea that kind of love was there. Well, life is all about change. And over the last couple of years, have you seen a lot of change happening? Some people think change is good. Some people think change is scary, bad. It's fearful because we're not in charge of the change. But we are in charge of how we react or respond to the change. There was a monumental event of biblical proportions. I've always wanted to say that in a sermon. There was a monumental event of biblical portions occurred when Jesus was born. Now, we don't know the exact year he was born. You know, they didn't give him a birth certificate. But a lot of scholars are saying that he was born sometime between 6 BC and 4 BC, give or take 2 or 3 years. So somewhere in that time. Now, we know that the star of Bethlehem appeared. Have you seen stars lately? Yeah. You know, it's an astronomical historical event that a unique star occurred, stayed in the sky. There's a lot of reasons and maybe trying to understand how the Christmas star appeared in Bethlehem. And then the Christmas event, the day that Emmanuel, God, came to be with us, to live with us, it changed history. Now we know other people, humans, their lives have changed history. I think of Mother Teresa, right? Does she change a lot of history? She did. We talked about a lot of negative examples too, but think about how Jesus, this baby being born to a 13-year-old girl and possibly in an engagement relationship to be married to a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy, it changed their world. It changed history. This birth changed history so much that our calendars reflect his birth. You have B.C., and then after the birth of Christ, you have A.D. So it changed our calendars. But what's really important, even beyond changing our calendars and historically appearing, when Jesus came, it changed the way we see God. We really can't understand that because we're modern 21st century Christians. But going back, how people viewed God in the Old Testament and in other times is completely different how we view God today. Some people were very fearful and scared of God. I mean, he was the God of smitivity. Yeah. All right? I don't know if that's a word today, but it sure sounded theological. Smitivity. And, you know, he was fearful. They really didn't know him. It was impersonal. The prophets tried. They didn't really understand who God was. They understood a little bit of who he showed himself to be. But when Jesus came, Emmanuel, it changed how we see God. God was actually a baby boy. He was just an infant. And he began to change the way we approach God then. Again, people were scared to death to approach God. Even in the Old Testament, the high priest, once in his life, he could go into the Holy of Holies to make sacrifices for the nation of Israel. And they were so scared of God, of his smitivity. Have you heard about that before? That they would tie a rope around his waist just in case God didn't like the offering. They were scared of God because, you know, he was fire and he was loud. He was shaking the mountain. And because Jesus came, it changed the way we can approach God. We've never really thought about that. So we're talking about a change. Has anything changed in your life lately? Yeah. Do you know we're the product of change today? And what's happening today is going to make me into the person I'm going to be tomorrow. So let's look at the Gospel of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the first chapter. I want to read about the text of this story that came and changed history, changed our lives, changed how we see God. I'm going to start with verse 18 out of Matthew chapter 1. Now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, verse 19. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break off the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to what? Name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Did Mary's life change at that point in time? And did she have any idea? Obviously, it was changed for the good, right? Everything, wow, I got Jesus in my life. Everything's great, right? Do you remember you've heard probably more Christmas sermons about Mary than I've ever preached. The change that this brought in Mary's life was difficult, scary, fearful, exciting. It caused her to move, not once, not twice, but three times. And people were talking about her. You ever have someone talk about you? Yeah, there's that Mary. Emily, how old was Mary? 13. Can you imagine, parents? Yeah. It changed everything. And Jesus is still changing everything today. Amen. So in this sermon series, in this Christmas series, I've asked some people to help me discover how Jesus changed things and what the result of it was. And I've got some very nervous people in the church today. So I would like to welcome to my, we'll just call it my coffee table, or my water table. I'd like, Dan, you volunteer. Okay, Dan and Corey, come on forward. And so it begins. Someone was saying, well, how come they're first? Well, they said yes first. Yeah, they're very brave. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you're not nervous, are you?
Tons.
Very.
Well, I'm so glad you guys came to just have a conversation with me and a couple friends. Amen. So I was wondering, Dan, how old were you when you discovered Jesus loves you? He became your Savior.
The first time I was about 7 years old.
Oh.
And we were in Kentucky with my mom, and she would read me the Bible at night. And one day I asked her, she was talking about Jesus, and I said, well, I want to go to heaven. I want to know about Jesus. And she shared with me right then and there, and I gave my life to Christ. And I knew I wanted to be baptized as well. And so I said, okay, well, we'll do it next service. Next service, I was like, no, I want to be baptized right now. And so she called up her pastor. His name is Dick Dameron. And said, my son wants to be baptized. And he said, hey, don't get in front of the Lord's willing. If that's what he wants, let's do it right now. So at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, drove to the church and was baptized that night.
That is awesome. I think that pastor deserves a round of applause. Amen. That was great. So you were 8 or 9 years old?
About seven years old.
At 8 or 9 at night, you got baptized.
Correct.
All right. And Corey, when did you discover how much Jesus loved you? When did you become a believer?
Well, I was very fortunate to be raised in a very Christian, loving home. So I was about nine years old, Sunday school.
Okay.
Patty Allen.
Oh. She was a Sunday school teacher?
Yeah.
Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you grew up in a Christian home.
I did.
And you grew up in church, and about what age?
That I became a believer? Uh-huh. 9.
About 9 years old.
Third grade.
About third grade.
Yeah.
So, see how important Sunday school is?
Yes.
Wondering why they're not there now, but that's okay. We'll figure that one out later. But Sunday school is so important, what we do with our kids, amen? Mm-hmm. Because you may not think that they're making any change in people's lives. You may think it's just babysitting. No. Mm-hmm. It's life formating. All right. So, Dan, you gave your heart to the Lord. You got baptized that same night. Boom. Everything's been good. You've been a believer ever since. What happened?
Well, I was a very strong believer early on. Matter of fact, that's how Corey and I dated, met in high school. We would go to youth group, and that's the reason why we would go see each other, because that's the only way we could date, because we were under, she was under 16. So we go to my
church.
Youth group, a lot of church, my youth group, her youth group. And then after graduated high school, I really fell away from God, backslid. I still believed in him, still within existence, but definitely wasn't practicing at all.
Okay, all right. So you fell away from God, you walked away from God, and then in the midst you met a girl, and you were smitten. Not the smite, but the smitten, and with youth group and all that. Okay,
correct.
So young age, you gave your heart to Christ, and then very commonly, then there tends to be a falling away. Things happen in life. Boys become teenagers, which supplies the ministry of prayer in the church for moms and dads. Phew, not necessarily for the girls, though. So, Corey, no, don't say that. Don't. So tell me, so you gave your heart to Jesus at a young age as well, Was there anything else that happened after that? I mean, was there this roller coaster ride?
There's always been hills and mountains or valleys and mountains, but I think probably after Dan and I got married, I would say that was kind of when I started to fall away from the church for whatever reason. And I think we were just kind of ship sailing in different directions. He worked nights, I worked days, we had kids, and just kind of life just separated us a little
chaos.
Bit.
Isn't that normal? Yeah. You know, a lot of people experience that, you know, So if I can recap a little bit, like a Maury Povich show here, I don't know who that is, but no way.
Not the father.
He is the father.
Wow. He's on the naughty list, isn't he? So these two young people, they gave their heart to Jesus as children in church. They got married, because of the youth group ministry. And then life happened. Yeah. When the two shall become one is not an easy process, is it? Especially when one and one are trying to find their walk with Jesus. So you're saying your walk began to stumble a little bit. It was a little more difficult. So you got married, you have kids. And so what happened in your relationship with Jesus then? You were working nights, she was working days. What was going on?
Well, it was just chaos. And also, you know, I wanted to be the same example that Bryce and Cheryl were for Corey, the same example my mom was for me, for our kids. And I knew that if I kept going the way I was, falling away from God, not being a good husband, not being a good father, that the example I would set for them would just be catastrophic. And God truly used my kids to change my life.
So before we get to that, you have to understand that I bet Dan always knew of God and respected God, but living in a relationship with God wasn't existing. And the consequence of not having him in your life, you were experiencing the residual effect of that, and your life was beginning to struggle, huh? Yeah. And you were struggling as well. And what were you doing? You were working outside the house. What were you doing?
I'm a teacher for children with severe special needs.
And how long have you been doing that?
I think this is my 17th year.
17th year. Yeah. And I believe one of the reasons why she's got such a heart for these children is because Jesus began to tenderize her heart as an early child. But so, you know, they loved Jesus, they knew of God, but their lives were a little bit of chaos. Mm-hmm. Which, do you think that's normal? That happens a lot? Maybe go to church and you put on that Sunday mask. Yep. Blessing to you too. And everything at home is fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So Dan, I interrupted you because I think something came to a head, and you were setting us up because if it wasn't for your children, you said, and the love of your wife, you probably wouldn't have come back to Christ. Can you fill in the blanks a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I started reading the Bible more, started to not go to church. I was still hurt by the church, didn't want to be involved in that. And it just made me, it brought to light the things I had left in darkness that I was struggling on my own, whether it be my anger, my other sins that I struggled with. And so I started to listen to, like, Focus on the Family, but still didn't want to go to church yet.
I don't blame you.
And
scary people there.
My mom told me about this church here, and she was involved in Project 54, but C4, and the pastor that you were real, not just
Memorex.
Yeah. And so I decided to start coming to church here, and Corey started to come, and I was like, it wasn't enough. I needed to work on myself, so I started going to C4.
Celebrate Recovery.
Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
And really working on some issues that I've been struggling with since I was, 14, 15 years old.
Wow, great. So he came back to church. Were you happy about that?
Well, that's what I've been praying for. I feel like I started off praying super hard when, things got tricky, and it just didn't fix itself right away. And so it was just like, eh, you know, and I think that's kind of what pulled me away from it. And so then Dan wanted to come here, and I was like, no, thank you. I want nothing to do with this church. It's too small. It's too far. It's not a huge kids ministry. Like, those were all selfish reasons that I didn't want to come. So I followed him, and here we are, 3 years later almost.
Wow, that's awesome, yeah. And I have proof that they were here on an Easter Sunday. What happened on an Easter Sunday? Was it 3 years ago or so?
Yeah. We all got baptized.
Oh, but it wasn't 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. You were baptized in a horse trough.
Horse trough. All four of us.
But yeah. A brand new horse trough.
Yes, we thought it was important to... Our kids had recently just accepted the Lord, and that was one of the best days of our life. And they wanted to be baptized, and so Corey and I decided that we're going to rededicate our lives to God. We'd already been saved. We'd already been baptized, but we just felt the need to just wash it off again and start again.
That's perfectly fine. That rededication or that refocus. So what was going through your mind when all this change was happening? What, did everything then all become roses and beautiful now?
There were some struggles still, and I think just as you had reminded us, just because you're saved, and that's probably going to cause more turmoil sometimes, you know, just because you are coming closer to Jesus, and I think then the devil really wants to not do that, because I think when we're on the same page, we're quite a force to be reckoned with.
So when a cord of three is spun together, Dan, Corey, and Jesus, it's very, very, very difficult to break. But it gets the attention of the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, so the enemy really wasn't concerned about Dan and Corey before, because they weren't a threat to him, and they were distracted, maybe even divided.
Totally.
And probably discouraged. But Jesus came in, the name above every name, the name above every situation, the name above every marriage, the name above every problem. And he comes and he says, I've got hope for you. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's difficult. But there's a change in you now, right? There's something different about your walk with Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about it, preacher.
Well, I kind of, just from letting God use me, you know, before it always, come on, God, I want to be used for your ministry. I want to be used. And he can use anyone, clearly, but I wasn't in a place to be used yet. There were issues that I needed to work on. And seeing that, I guess, has helped. I guess I don't know where I'm going with this, other than he's used me now. I see him use me in my friends. I see him using Corey that, my goodness, she's my go-getter. She's so brave and bold to invite people to church.
Amen. Well, let's go. So Jesus changed your life as a youngster. He came, you allowed him to come back, and he made some more changes, some more in-depth changes in your life. That process, he went from salvation to the process of sanctification. Salvation is God's gift to us, forgiveness. Sanctification is our gift to God, allowing him to make the changes in our life. Do you remember that one video? Which one am I talking about?
It's the chisel video where we are a work in progress, all of us from 1 year old to 101 years old. And God gets in your life and he starts taking away the garbage, starts taking away the different things. And we're not done until we get to go to heaven. And so if you work on one issue, okay, Dan, now I'm going to work on this one. Oh, God, that hurts. And it's just the chisel. That was what it was, the chisel video, where just he's constantly just making a sculpture out of us until one day we'll be perfect in his eyes when we're with him.
And that's the process that they're trying to share with you. And it's a process that isn't done. No. Because there's still areas, we might not want any chiseling taking place in our life, but God still has an agenda. And because of this change that happened in Dan and Corey, I've seen Dan take those personal changes and help another young man, sorry, you're young to me, in any struggles that they're having. And he'll come right up next to that young man And I can almost hear his words now. I understand. Yeah. But there's hope. That's a big problem. But my God is bigger. And I've seen him do that more than one. In fact, I've seen him do it recently. And it's just not Dan. Because the same God that's been chiseling on Dan has been molding. God molds women. He chisels men.
That's true. Harder.
And I've noticed change in Corey, and I'm sure maybe Mom and Dad have. But have you seen any change in your life since you went from being a wanderer to a woman of God? Well, I set you up for that one, didn't I? Here. Yeah, that one's a...
Well, I think... I've always been a good person, I feel, right? And so, as we spoke, I feel like I don't have this huge, amazing story like some people do. And so, but our story is amazing. And I'm so thankful, because I didn't used to be like... I'd be the person who goes to church on Sunday and, oh, hi, hey, how are you? Let's, like, go to lunch and hang out. And then I go to work on Monday, and I was just an ugly person. Mm. I wasn't the same person. And I wasn't doing anything wrong, per se, but the way I spoke and the way I behaved, people couldn't see Jesus through me.
He wasn't reflecting?
No.
Okay.
And I think 100%, if people were to know I was a Christian back then, they would be surprised. Mm. And that's gross to me. That's just so ugly. So I got a new job in a new district, still a teacher, still love it. But I was just like, I'm done with that Corey. I don't want to be that person anymore. Mm. I want people to see Jesus through me. And so maybe like a year into my job there as a teacher, and then especially going through the pandemic and children with special needs, it was rough. It was so rough. And there's a lot of grumble, and there's a lot of ugly talk and negativity, because that's kind of what surrounds us right now. But I didn't want people to see that. I want people to see Jesus through me. And so about a year into that job there, one of our custodians came over to me after school, and he's like, why are you so happy? And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm just happy. And so he's like, no, there's something different. Mm. And I was like, well, I have Jesus in my heart.
Amen. And you said that.
I did.
You radical person.
I know.
Wow.
And so it was just like, I think that was the beginning of, I feel like my light has come back. And I feel like we all have platforms to be able to share Jesus. And I feel like being able to work with these children and their families and, the gen ed children as well. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm excited to see where God's going to move. And
anyone else notice a difference at your school?
Principal? Vice principal, yes. Yeah. So last year, our vice principal walked in the classroom, and I was grumpy. I think I probably yelled at the children in the morning. I came to school, and I was crying, just sitting in my room like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy land. And so then the vice principal walked in, and she just looked sad. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, okay, Corey, put all that aside, because it's not, sometimes you just have to put that to the side. And so I was like, can I pray for you? And she was like, flabbergasted, and I was like, oh my gosh, that just came out of my mouth, because that's just not usually
in a public school.
And so she said, yeah, I would love that. And then the next day she came back, and I said, hey, I was like, I've been praying for you, are things better? And she's like, the sun rose, S-O-N, and so did I, and your prayers uplifted me. And I was just like, wow.
Amen. Amen. Tony's been wanting you to share that story for a while now. Tony, you can check that off your list. There's been three or four Sundays, Pastor, can Corey share today? And something just always preempted it. So I now know why. So do you think these are perfect people?
No.
Maybe some parents do. I see them as holy. I see them as perfect. I see them as sanctified. And when they struggle, okay, yeah, they're also human. But I love this couple, because they've reminded me, even when life is changing, you still have the rock, Jesus. You're no longer changing because of what's going on out there. You're starting to change because of what he's doing inside here. And that's exciting. And I'm pretty proud of this couple, aren't you?
Yeah.
And they can be an open book. I mean, You know, when you walk into church, now you might ask Corey, how are you doing? She might actually tell you how she's doing. And you might say, can I pray for you? Isn't that exciting? Because they both have mission fields now. And it's not with your friends or Tuesday night. It's not at school only. It's also at home with those two beautiful kids. Amen. So let's thank them so much for sharing. Amen. You may be seated. And now you can breathe. Wow. So you understand what we're doing here? Do you like our sermon series? That's pretty exciting to see what God has done in people's lives and what he's doing in people's lives. Let me remind you that Jesus changed how we see God. Do you see that young couple see God differently than they did as youngsters in church? Now, that doesn't mean that it was wrong. It was just the time in their life, the formation. They needed to hear those great, amazing stories in children's church and Sunday school. That was a foundation. But then they began to see Jesus in their real life. And that is important. It also, this change is how we approach God. Now they can go right to God. Can you see them at home around the table praying with one another? You can see that, can't you? In those difficult days when one is maybe doing the crazy thing. I think I understand what that means. I can see the other one grabbing their hand and saying, oh, but God's bigger than this. I can see that. Parents, example, can't you? And it changed how we relate to God. You know, a lot of people out there think God is just a judge waiting for you to screw up one more time. And they don't want to deal with God because they've gotten the wrong impression of who really God is. Just like the people in the old, they really didn't relate to God. They were scared of God. And a lot of people are scared of God. But when you see God shining through this couple, is God scary? No, he's compassionate. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. Waiting for you and I to turn our attention back to him. Amen? They did a great job, didn't they? Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for some other people. You know how important parents are in your life?
Yeah.
Emily? They are super important. And so I'd like to bring to this platform the parents of Corey. Bryce and Cheryl Peace, come on forward. And by the way, Bryce is being disciplined, so he's sitting next to me this morning. I love you too, brother. Amen. And here, Cheryl, that's for you. Let me do one thing for you real quick. Amen. It's okay. It's better that you don't see them. Yeah. Boy, those kids did great, didn't they? Are you super proud of them?
Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying. I did really good with them up here. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this series all throughout December, you're going to get to know people. And some of you are thinking right now, boy, I'm glad he didn't ask me. And some of you are saying, I don't know if I should have said yes or no. But you're like new kids on the block. You said yes, just after they said yes. So I was super proud of them too. Yes. And I'm so glad to have you here because we get to know them more. When you think of Cheryl and Bryce, you think of Cheryl, and how many think, oh, she's such a sweet lady, right? You know, she's such a sweet lady. She's got those great kids.
Thank you.
How does Bryce fit into all this? Here we got a guy that drives around a 45-foot motorhome, you know, parks it in a compact parking spot. Seems like, you know, he's always talking. What's up with these guys? Well, one of the blessings is we get to know each other more. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I think that's positive.
For me.
I hope so. So, Cheryl, let's start with you. Ladies first. Tell me, at what age, when did you hear about Jesus? Tell me about when you said, oh, Jesus loves me.
Well, I grew up in a very small rural town, and church was the center of your family, my family. Yeah. And so, you know, I was always in church and knew as I was going to Sunday school and church and stuff that Jesus was my Savior.
Yeah.
And it was just always a part of my life. And so I took, you know, the instructions and lessons. And I think at age 10, I decided that I wanted to publicly say that he was, you know, my Savior.
Awesome.
And so I was baptized at age 10.
At night, at 9 o'clock at night?
No, oh, okay, no, good. During a church service.
I was wondering where, you know. So when you turned double digits, you gave your life, you grew up, you were born and grew up in a religious home, a small town
in Nebraska.
Nebraska, flyover state. Yeah, very good. So that's great. So Bryce, tell us about how you found out about Jesus, you know, growing up or what?
Well, my parents on my, grandparents on my father's side were both ordained ministers. But I never saw him that much. And then I went to spend summers. I was living in Denver. Summers with my grandparents in Nebraska. And worked on their farm. And I think I was 10, 11, and 12. And they take me to church. And I became, I gave my heart to Jesus. And then I'd leave the farm and go back to Denver to live with my parents. And my parents were a little dysfunctional, I think my family was. And they go off to Sunday school. They call it Sunday school. They go out of the bar on Sunday mornings and drink. And I think it hurt my brother and sister. But I got to admit, I had a lot of fun out of some of that stuff. And then I'd go back the next year. And so I thought that when I messed up, I lost my salvation. And it was later on, I'm going to say late teens, early 20s, Jesus put a couple people into my life, and I figured out that Jesus doesn't ever go away.
Even when you want him.
Even when
you want him to go away.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was okay with it, but then I kind of got into it, and I got baptized in the church that Cheryl and I eventually got married in.
Oh, how.
I'd forgotten all about that till this morning.
That's great. So they, about 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, they had religious upbringing. You both got baptized as youngsters. Mm-hmm. You have some ministerial DNA in you from your grandparents.
Yes. Yes.
That's why he likes to share. No.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. So then you guys went off to college, I assume, or school. You graduated high school. Did you know each other in high school?
No.
Not yet. He, God was still working on him at that point. Okay.
He was much older, man.
Well, right. I would have gone to jail if we dated in
high school. Oh, okay. Well, we can tell. All right. So you graduated high school. Did you go off to college?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Did you go off to college?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Okay. And that's when we met, was when I was in school.
Yes.
And I worked for juvenile probation and stuff like that for a while. But we met, and we eventually became kind of like a one plus. I don't recall ever having big issues with Cheryl. I mean, when we were married and stuff like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And but it was always just good.
Okay. So when you got to college, did your relationship with Jesus change at all? Was it growing or what happened? Cheryl, we'll go to you.
Okay. It was, I think when we were in college, it was like we would go to church on Sundays most of the time.
Unless you wanted to go out on a motorcycle ride or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we did that.
We didn't have any RVs back then. But but so I can't say that we're excessively involved, you know, in the church. But church was obviously a big part for both of us. But it wasn't that we were totally involved in. And for me, I believe that came when we had kids. The first, you know, Corey was very, very young. The first time we went back, we found a church in our local neighborhood. And the minute I walked in, I don't know if it was the same for you, but the minute I walked in the doors, I felt like I was back home. And it was like, okay, this is what.
So you went through the college years, and then you got married. In the same church that you were baptized in.
He was. Yeah.
He was. And then you had children. And then there was this longing to go back to church. Church was maybe more of a tradition. It's more of your DNA. It's your culture. It's what you do. You go to church. And in case mom calls, I went to church.
That's right.
All right. But something then, you wanted to go to church now. And because you had those two little kids, two girls, by the way. The oldest is...
Corey,
and the youngest is
Casey.
Thank you. I'll make sure he's still with us.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And so you found a church, and Cheryl said, as soon as she walked in, she felt like she was at home.
Yes.
That is a good feeling to have, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And what about you when you went into church? Do you remember when you went back?
Yeah. It was good family, really good people. We had a lot of good friends, but we were fairly new in the church. And they had a kids program. There were about 30 kids in it. Thanks. And the leaders weren't going to do it anymore, and so we kept waiting. Nobody would volunteer, so we ended up volunteering so at least our kids would have a good program. Our pastor asked us to run it as an outreach program. And it took us a year or two, but we ended up with those 30 kids. We doubled it twice in 6 years.
Wow.
And the most a lot of exciting things about that. But we had non-Christian parents that would volunteer to be a teacher in our group. And so we'd match them up with a Christian leader.
Mm.
And we had some... adults become Christians, and we had a bunch of kids become Christians, because out of that number, 60% of the kids, that was their only contact with the church whatsoever. And that was exciting. And there was a time, we had growing pains, and there was a time I was walking through the church grounds, making sure all the doors were locked up, and there was a feeling came over me like I'd never felt before, and it was outside of me, and it was pure, and it was good, and felt good. And so, and then it, we kept going, kept growing, more growing pains. It was about like a year or two later, I was walking through the same area again, and this feeling came over me because, you know, at that point, I was beginning to think, well, the first time that was my I began to think it was my imagination. Then Jesus confirmed that for me. So I'd always walk through the same place, the same time of day, doing the same thing, and it never, ever happened again. So, but it was a lot of fun.
So did you hear some seasons here? This is what's exciting, looking into people's lives. And we don't even have to turn on the Hallmark Channel. This is great. By the way, at the end of the movie, they kiss. So... setting you up, brother. Now, so they got married, they started having kids, and there was this longing to be part of a spiritual family. They found a good local church, and they began just to be part of that family. Then they wanted their kids to be in a program, and so they accepted the position of being children's director. And they took that and ran with it. And did you hear that they doubled in size?
Twice.
And then the parents of these children would come in. Their lives began to change. You see, God didn't just change the lives of Cheryl and Bryce for their own benefit. But he, you know, that's awesome. But a lot of times when God makes a change in our life, it's like a ripple change. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like he makes a change in Cheryl's life. Wow. And then the ripples now go into children in the community. And moms begin to look at Cheryl. Dads begin to look at Bryce and think, wow, I like what you guys are doing. If God can change you, maybe he can change me.
Amen.
And boy, isn't that a great multiplication of God's change in your life. Mm. Now, it wasn't easy, was it? It was a struggle because just like we talked about with Dan and Corey, when lives are being changed for Jesus, the enemy pays attention to that. And it can be a struggle at some point. And even church can be a point of struggle. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the church can get away in the way of God. Mm-hmm. Because we're all human. We're all imperfect. Look at your neighbor and see, you're imperfect, I'm imperfect. But God still uses imperfect people. So when you're going through this, in these changes, was it easy or were there times of difficulty?
Well, there were definitely difficult times.
You mean with the kids program?
Anything, yeah.
Cheryl was, everybody came to find out early on that if they wanted to know what was going on in the kids program, they should go ask Cheryl. Because she organized everything and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a real blessing. We were very happy with that, and it lasted for 6 years.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus changed your marriage, changed your children, and then that change began to affect or become evident in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story, I think. Yes. That's awesome. Yes. But then you, you guys are involved with a company. What's the name of this company you're involved in 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year?
It's called Capstone.
Capstone.
Yes.
Capstone what?
Pacific Investment
Capstone
Strategies.
Capstone Pacific Investment Strategies,
yes.
If you need it.
That the business card is this long, and they do financial planning, financial investments. I personally know that they do an amazing job, thus they're still here. And I didn't mean it that way. And so if God changed all those areas of your life, mm-hmm. has he changed anything in your business? Does your business run any differently because of that? Before you answer, is anyone cold?
Mm-mm.
Everyone's good? I'm the only one a little chilly up here? Okay, very good.
A little chilly.
It is a little chilly up here. All right. So you own this business, and how does a business owner and Jesus relate?
Well, good question. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Asking.
You're welcome. Put you on the spot.
We're in a high stress business, and we are. I consider us stewards of people's money, and sometimes it's their life savings, and so that's something that we can't take lightly. And the stress and everything, the fear of making a decision sometimes, and so we do everything we need to do, and give it our best shot before we make a decision. We pray, and used to pray that, hey, if I make this decision, would Jesus make the whole stock market go up for me? And it didn't work, okay? And so then started praying, help me discern what's going on. And what it's done is it helped erase some of my fear, my hesitation, and you get some of the credit because you're saying that we should cast all of our worries onto Jesus.
All of our 401ks?
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. That too. But so I did. I took him at his word for it and do it, and that does not mean I've got an edge. That doesn't mean I'm any kind of a special investment. But it does say that I pray about it, and I get a lot of quick feedback on whether or not my prayers are answered and whether or not I got the right message. But I would like to emphasize that it doesn't mean that I've got some special kind of gift to do this. I'm just relying on Jesus to help me through the day.
I think we call this being a good steward. The revelation is you've become a good steward of raising your children. You've become a good steward of your marriage. Those are all gifts that God gives us that he says we need to become good stewards of. And then he says, I'm going to give you this company. And you have been good stewards of that company. And you rely on him. That doesn't mean you're better or whatever. You seek him in all of your decisions. And personally, I would much rather be in business with someone who seeks the wisdom of God. And not necessarily walk in fear, because if you look at the stock market, it's founded on fear. It really is. Yes. But their life is founded on faith, trusting in God in these highs and these lows. And I guess that is emblematic of your life. There's been highs. There's been lows.
And I would say it's the same exact situation. If any of our clients want to know what's going on, they ask Cheryl.
And we do the same here at church.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. So, and it's worked out. But did you have anything to add to that? I can't think of it.
I like how she watches him.
I will say, I started my business a long time ago, and it was kind of the same but different. And so I wanted to base it on the golden rule where I would do for people what I'd like to do for me.
Amen.
Several years ago when we established we were working for other people, we established our company, and I fixed it so that anybody ever working for our company are legally obligated to always do it in our client's best interests at all times.
We call that a fiduciary.
Yeah, and I call it being guilty until you can prove yourself innocent.
Okay.
So we document everything.
Amen.
So, yeah, it is. Good. And so Casey is part owner now. She's going to take it over someday. Corey can't be part owner because she's not licensed. So,
oh, okay.
It's worked out.
I think she's very thankful for that, too, isn't she?
She's
licensed, if you want.
So let me wrap this up a little bit, because some people are thinking about lunch. Maybe you're going to Golden Corral or somewhere. I don't know. How did you end up here? Why are you here? Is it because we're not sold out yet? Or how did you guys end up here, Cheryl?
Well, our daughter. Yeah. We heard about this church, and through Ruth. We'd heard about you all there for a while. And we did not follow up on it. And then one day, I don't know, I think Corey just kind of asked us again. And I think it was about a year ago, actually, because I remember the Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay.
I think it was about then. And so we came and... Again, it was like walking through the door and being home.
Wow. Don't start.
And I think Ruth is the one that started this whole thing. So she gets the credit.
It's her fault.
Yes.
Nope.
So.
And you're exactly right, Bryce. And so when Ruth came here, and there's another story about how Ruth came here, but it has to do a lot with our Celebrate Recovery ministry. And Ruth and I became partners serving Jesus together, and man, we love Ruth to the moon and back, and we're so thankful for her that we even let her preach, and I heard most of the sermon in the desert last week, not all of it, but I got most of it, and I'm thankful because of the change that he made in her life. It affected Dan.
Yep. Yes.
Corey. Cheryl, Bryce, and now those two kids are gone again. Okay. So do you see how important it is to allow God to make the changes in your life?
Yes.
Sometimes we don't invite them in, and we say, no, God, but he says, if you could only see a little bit more beyond your problem, there's a promise here that I have nothing but blessing in store for you. So are you willing to allow God to use your life for your story to reflect his glory? Well, I don't have anything to say. Isn't that what you told me? Do you believe that this woman said, Pastor, my story is so boring, no one's going to want to hear that. Can you believe that? And when we allow God to take our history, we understand that other people can say his story can be in my life too. And it's all a matter of going up and maybe saying to your vice principal, can I pray for you? Because my God's bigger than all this. Or commit every decision of your company to Jesus and lay it all out there for him to figure it out. I'm so glad that we're part of this family. And I agree, Cheryl, when we saw you walk in, we thought you were at home too. Yeah, and then Bryce came in. And it was confirmed. It was confirmed. So will you help me thank this beautiful couple? You want to say something. This is his grandparents coming out at him now.
See, I asked for 20 minutes, and he said no. So, but I would say one of the hooks here, and I've never really, I mean, one of the hooks here for me is I come in, and Chloe, I somehow ended up on the front row because there wasn't room enough back there. And so Chloe and I were going through the singing. And one time I asked her, I said, do you know the words to these songs? She says, no. I said, I don't know them either. But let's sing them to Jesus. Hmm. And all of a sudden, I've got this, my granddaughter and I sing.
Amen.
And I'll just keep coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You know, some churches don't want their kids disrupting their worship. And since day one, I said, no way. I may have used other words too. That we want our kids in worship with us.
Amen.
How old is Aiden now?
He's almost three.
In big boy pants. You know, he's almost three. And I remember when Zayden came in and said, man, we want him to worship with you and grandma. And you know what? We think he doesn't understand. Oh, there you go. I know. I remember hearing my kids sing. And after I heard them sing those words, I thought it was great. But then I realized that they took after my singing. And it's like, oh. But you know what? That we want our kids to see Jesus in our lives, not just in our sermons. So I hope and pray that as God, wherever he has placed you today, whether you are enjoying it or not, whether you're in Egypt or in the wilderness or even in the promised land, he's got you in a spot for a purpose. And if you seek him with all your understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll begin to reveal to you in his time frame his plans for you. And I know you don't like change, but change is good for us. Amen? And things are changing in our world rapidly, which means the ultimate change is happening soon, that he's coming back. And I don't want him to come back as soon as some of you want him to come back, because there's still people in my life that haven't accepted the change yet. So go be change makers, change agents, because Jesus has a plan for each and every one of you. Amen.